Please note that Bible study has switched from Wednesday to Tuesdays. You are all invited to Bible study on Tuesdays. Tomorrow evening, council meets at 7. This Wednesday, our senior citizens group is meeting at 10:30, and we are kicking off a new season of senior citizens group. We are starting an outreach card ministry where those who are present will bring the prayer lists from their churches, birthday lists, lists of service folks, and we are going to begin writing cards to those people. So if you are interested in this card writing ministry, we meet 10:30, the third Wednesday of every month at Mount Tabor. Next Saturday is the, do you want to say it, Neil? Go ahead. No.
That's a looker for tickets. I have tickets at the station. I just don't have it with me. And if anybody wants more tickets to sell or would like to sell tickets, I have them at the station. Just stop by and get them. We'll be putting tickets on at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we'll be serving till 4, cleaning up afterwards. Anytime. You don't have to be a member of the Lions Club or the men's group. If you want to pitch in, more than glad to have the help.
And it's going to be a pickup only this year from 11 to 4 at the picnic shelter. So come on to the picnic shelter. Also, this afternoon, as we are eating, we are going to reconsecrate the outdoor shelter that Ty Heitman has been working on as his Eagle Scout project. He has completed it, and we want to celebrate that today. Are there any other announcements, Joe? Say that again. It's Grandparents' Day today. Happy Grandparents' Day to all the grandparents. Grandchildren are a gift from the Lord, and there are so many studies that show the immense benefits for children, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, for children who have close relationships and spend a lot of time with their grandparents. So happy Grandparents' Day to all of you. Anything else? Yes. We've got a few prayer shawls here, and then I will also lift up our birthdays and anniversaries. So we have a little prayer shawl here for Maddie Lynn Everhart, who is about to be born in just a few weeks. A prayer shawl for Duty Hinson, who is brother to Toby Oakley, who died a couple of weeks ago, also brother to Wendy Lohr. And then the Queen Mother in the Red Hat Society, her daughter has died. And so we've got a prayer shawl here for her mom, her dad, and her significant other. Let's pass these around so we can lay some hands on them as we pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of being able to come to you in prayer with celebrations as we are celebrating the upcoming birth of Maddie Lynn Everhart. We give you thanks that she has been growing so healthily in her mother's womb and pray that you would grant them a safe delivery so that we can welcome her into the world and into the family here at Holly Grove. We pray for all of the folks who are getting a prayer shawl, that as they are surrounded by the weight of this prayer shawl, that they may feel surrounded by your love and care and by the love and prayers of the disciples here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We thank you for the power of prayer and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would bring minds of loved ones, especially these loved ones, to our minds to remind us to pray for them, that we might bring them into your presence, knowing that you know exactly what they need, that you know exactly where they are, and that you can offer them love and care in ways that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, we have several birthdays this week. Ava Murphy, Jonathan Hedrick, Kara Feeney, Monica Parsons, Ann Blower, Dean Chapman, and Connor Heeking. We have several anniversaries, Keith and Lori Cecil, Scott and Holly Curry, and Kyle and Megan Murphy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. We gather together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Oh,
Let us pray. O God, through the suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. And by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher,
but I know not how to sustain the weary with the word.
Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is from Psalm 116 and will be read responsively. I love the Lord who has heard my voice.
And listened to my supplication.
For the Lord has given ear to me.
Never
the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous.
Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent.
Our God.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul.
The Lord,
for you have rescued my life from death.
My eyes from tears and my feet from
stone. I will walk in the presence of the Lord. The second reading today is from the third chapter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of this make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes is speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward to receive their Bibles. It has been several years since the children have received new Bibles, and as you all know, children don't keep. So even if some of these folks received a new Bible 4 or 5 years ago, they've already grown a lot since then, are in a new stage of life. And so we have new Bibles for them, some elementary school Bibles, some late elementary school Bibles, and some Lutheran study Bibles, because this year we have 3 young ladies starting confirmation: Gracie Ferguson, Maddie Lore Pope, and Rosalie Summer. Go, Max.
Brantley, Bundy, Button, Calvin, Eric. Ashton, Chapman, Mason, Chapman, Cameron, Cecil.
There you go, Sawyer.
Ryan Parsons.
There you go, Raya.
Conrad Summer. And Rosalie Summer.
Yes. When you were baptized, your parents and sponsors promised to bring you to worship and to Holy Communion, to teach you the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments. And they promised to place in your hands the Holy Scriptures and to nurture you in faith and help you live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the whole church. And from Isaiah 40, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will stand forever.
From Romans 15, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
As part of Holly Grove Lutheran Church's promise to you in your baptism, we present to each of you a Bible. Receive God's Word. Learn its stories and study its words. The stories in the Bible belong to us all, and the words in the Bible speak to us all. They tell us who we are. They tell us that we belong to God and that we belong to one another because we are all children of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word is living and active. As we present these young people with Bibles today, we ask that you would bless their reading and study of it. May your words of truth, hope, and life both comfort them and challenge them. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may they encounter this story as your living word for them, for this community, and for the world. Amen. If you all would like to take your Bibles back to where you are sitting and then come forward again for the sermon. Actually, since there are so many of us, is it easier if I stand in front of you instead of beside you? Okay. So today's sermon is going to be a little bit different because since there are so many young people here today, and oftentimes when I preach, it's more for the adults, I wanted the sermon today to be for you all. And so thank you for joining me up here. So I want to focus on the verse that I read aloud in the gospel. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The cross is a reminder for us of a lot of things. Who can describe for me what a reminder is? What's a reminder? Conrad? You remind someone about something they need to do or something they need to remember. Reminders help us remember things. What are some things that you all need reminding of? Conrad? To take a shower? That's a good one. That's a really good one. What else do you guys need reminding of?
To get up for school.
To get up for school. Yep. Isabel's shaking her head. These are good ones. Keep going. What else do you need reminding of? To take your vitamins and allergy medicine? Yes. Sawyer? To not forget anything when you go to school. Anything else? Conrad? Don't forget to wear your mask. Absolutely. These are all really good reminders, and we need reminders because it's easy to forget things. I often joke that if I don't write something down on a list, I may not remember it. So I write things down on lists a lot to remember to do things or to call somebody or to think about something. Well, the cross for us as Christians and here in worship reminds us of a lot of things. Who knows what some of the things are that the cross reminds us of? Of God, yes. Sawyer? Of Jesus. Did somebody else raise their hand? Rosalie, did you read? Of how Jesus died for us on the cross, yes. Sawyer? With Jesus, absolutely. What else do you think the cross reminds us of, Maddie? Of the Holy Spirit? Any other ideas? Conrad? To be kind? These are all really great answers. I think also that the cross reminds us of how much God loves us, of how much God loves the whole world. The cross also reminds us, when we see it, that we were marked with the cross. So we carry the cross with us wherever we go, because when you were baptized, right here at this font, the pastor had a little thing of oil and dipped the pastor's thumb in the oil and made a sign of the cross on your forehead and said, "You are marked with the cross of Christ forever." So even though you can't see that cross, you're marked with it forever, and that means that you belong to God forever, forever. So sometimes I invite you, when you come forward for communion, to dip your hand in the baptismal font and get a little water on your fingers and make the sign of the cross over your forehead to remember that. But when you were baptized, it was done with oil. And using oil for baptism goes all the way back to the second century. Over 1,800 years ago, the church has been using oil to anoint people at baptism. It's a really special tradition because kings and priests in the Old Testament were anointed with oil. And the word for oil and Jesus, chrism and Christ, are the same. It means anointed one. So when you are marked with oil in the sign of the cross at your baptism, you become anointed too as God's child. So I was wondering if you could help me find some of the crosses that we have here in the sanctuary. Not too many this way that I can see, a couple on these banners. The big cross behind us above the altar. Oh, yes, I'm wearing a cross. That's exactly right. I forgot about that one. There's crosses on the Bibles. Cross on the candle. On the lights. I never noticed that. You're right. The lights have crosses at the top. Where else? I am so glad you pointed out that cross. That cross is the processional cross. And one of the things in the next few weeks that I want to start doing is having us use the processional cross. Have any of you ever seen the processional cross used before? Okay, well, let's try it out. So when we use a processional cross, and I'll go get it in a minute, the reason we use that is that because it reminds us that everywhere we go, we are always facing and following the cross. So the processional cross at the beginning of worship will be at the back of the sanctuary. And as the gathering hymn will start, everybody will turn and face the cross so that their eyes are always on the cross and that their eyes are always following the cross. And whoever the crucifer, that's the name of the person who processes it in, the crucifer, as they walk forward, everybody's eyes continue to follow the cross. So even if you're singing, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise," your eyes still continue to follow the cross. And there's something that we often do to show respect or reverence or honor to the cross. And I don't know if you've ever seen this done either, but we bow to recognize that God loves us and that the cross is a sign for that. It's a sign of God's love, and we bow to remember God's love and acknowledge God's love. And we bow in humble acknowledgement, in recognition for what Jesus did for us on the cross. So as we follow the cross in with our eyes, when the cross comes before us, we bow before the cross. You've probably often seen me bow at the altar. The altar is another place in worship where we recognize that Jesus is present with us in worship. So, do you guys want to follow the cross with me? Actually, it looks like Mr. Davis is going to help us here. Were you a crucifer back in the day, Joe? So we're going to do this backwards. We're going to process out first and then process back up to the chancel steps. So it's the opposite. And you keep hearing me say process. In the church, we have kind of our own vocabulary. Process out and process in. That just means walking in and walking out. So do you guys want to follow me? I'll show you what to do as we follow Mr. Joe. Okay, we're going to process out. And you're going to watch everybody's eyes turn and follow the cross. Actually, if you all want to stand up and follow the cross with your eyes and your body. Come on, everybody. We're going to follow the cross. And when Mr. Joe gets to the chancel steps, he's going to stop and he's going to turn around and face the congregation with the cross. And we are all going to bow before the cross and show reverence to the cross. Okay, are we ready? So everybody's eyes are watching the cross and people can bow to show reverence and respect to Jesus and the sacrifice he made. So when we follow the cross with our eyes and our bodies as we enter into worship in the sanctuary, the cross is always before us. We follow the cross into worship. And then we did it backwards, right? We processed out first. But then at the end of the worship service, when we process out, we follow the cross back out into the world, symbolizing that we follow Jesus and we carry our own cross out into the world to serve him. So do y'all want to practice bowing in reverence to the cross? Kind of bend at the waist. So that's one of the ways that we can honor the cross. There you go. That we can honor the cross and use our bodies to show reverence and respect to Jesus. Because oftentimes when we talk about following the cross and following Jesus, you may all be seated. It's kind of abstract, right? Like, do we actually like carry a cross and follow it around with us in the world? No, but we kind of do, because this cross, as it exits the sanctuary, symbolizes that when we leave worship, we go back out into the world. Thank you, Joe. Okay, you can all be seated again if you'd like. There's another time when we use crosses in worship. How many of you have noticed that there are several times in the worship service when I make the sign of the cross over myself? Have any of you noticed that I do that? Can you tell me when the times you've noticed it are? Praying. Yes, anytime I say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I cross myself. When's another part of worship that I make the sign of the cross? We just did it a few minutes ago when we confessed our sin and you received the forgiveness in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The acolyte brings the light of Jesus into the sanctuary. You're right. Can you remember any other times when I make the sign of the cross? How about at the end of the service? When I say, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord's face shine upon you with mercy and grace, the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Any time that I make the sign of the cross, you are welcome to make the sign of the cross as well. Making the sign of the cross for us is another reminder. It is another reminder that we were marked with the cross of Christ in baptism, and that we carry that cross with us everywhere we go. So there are a couple ways that you can make the sign of the cross over you. Some people just do it on their forehead, which is exactly what happened in baptism. I always use my thumb, but you can also use your pointer. So you start at the top of your forehead in the middle, and you go down. And then I always come over to my left side and go left to right. You want to practice that? Try that with me. Top to bottom, left to right. Excellent. You can also make the sign of the cross over your body. So the way I do that is go from your head, kind of to the middle of your chest, close to where your heart is, and then left shoulder, right shoulder. And some people go back to the center. I usually do. But you don't have to. You can just go head, chest, left, right. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Y'all want to try that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So our bodies are marked with the cross that we follow. It reminds us that we follow Jesus' cross. It reminds us of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It reminds us of God's love for us. And so we do that several times each Sunday in worship, but Martin Luther, who actually, that's where we get the name Lutheran from, Martin Luther actually, in the Small Catechism, he said that we should make the sign of the cross over ourselves every morning as the first thing we do when we wake up, and every night as the last thing we do before we go to bed. Because Martin Luther, he knew very, very well that we are so forgetful, and so many times throughout the day we forget that we are God's children and that we belong to God. And so he thinks that we should make the sign of our cross, the sign of the cross over us, to remember that we belong to God, because that's what happened in baptism. In baptism, God adopted us as God's children, and we're marked with the sign of the cross because we belong to God forever. So I invite you to try that. The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross over your forehead or over your body. And then do it as the last thing you do before you go to bed at night. And just say, I belong to God. I am God's beloved child. God loves me more than I can imagine. How does that sound? Does that sound like something that would be easy to do? Here's the thing, it sounds easy, but it is hard to remember, because part of being a human means that we are really, really forgetful, and we forget that we belong to God. So the cross, when we see it in worship, maybe you have a cross necklace, or someone in your family does, or when we make the sign of the cross over ourselves, it reminds us that we belong to God. Any questions about anything that I've said, or about the cross, or making the sign of the cross over ourselves? A lot of people these days don't really know much about making the sign of the cross over themselves, because it hasn't been done in recent years. But it's actually an ancient practice that goes way, way back to the early church. And the early Christians all throughout the Middle Ages, they made the sign of the cross over themselves a lot. So even though it might feel like something kind of new, it's actually been done by Christians for centuries and centuries, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Okay, well, shall we pray? If you'll repeat what I say, and then at the very end, I'm going to pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and if you'll make the sign of the cross with me when I say that, okay? Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you that we are all together. Thank you for the cross. And for all the meaning behind it. That it reminds us that we belong to you. And that you love us so very much. We need reminders, God. Because we are forgetful. So help us remember. We belong to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for coming up this morning, everybody. You may go back to your seats.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
made children and heir of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Revealing God, you made yourself known through bread and wine, water and word. Continue to nurture your church, that it is a place where your presence is experienced and shared. Lord, in your mercy. Creating God, you brought life into being and called it good. Bring new creation to lands devastated by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, and other disasters. Restore forests and curb overflowing waters. Lord, in your mercy. Protecting God, you desire all people to live in peace and safety. Provide for all who are in danger. Strengthen first responders to help meet the complex needs of others. Provide care and compassion as they face trauma themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Transforming God, you announce release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. Amplify voices that go unheard and inspire us to advocate for those who are overlooked. Come quickly to the help of all who are grieving and all those who suffer, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Gary and Judy, Bill, Sherry, the family of Jimmy Beck, Raven and Tim, our family and friends listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Forming God, you gather this community together, shape our communal life that in our prayer, praise, and worship, we honor you and encourage one another. Keep out disagreements, civil, and increase our joy in working together. Lord, in your mercy. Redeeming God, you accompany your people through every stage of life. We give you thanks for the saints who now rest in your embrace, especially Jimmy Beck. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace.
Someday on the outside. my faith shall end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heavenly flight. Beulah, I'm longing for you, and someday on the I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah,
Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We have in this bigger basket wine and bread. We also have grape juice available. If you'd like grape juice, please let me know. And we have gluten-free wafers as well. I invite you, as you come forward for communion, to dip your hands in the baptismal water, remembering that you are a child of God. Mark your forehead with the sign of the cross, just as happened when you were baptized, and remind yourself that you belong to God forever. Now taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you. Thank you.
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us share together our wishes.
As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Share the good news.